That is because we have a guest in the studio this morning, a very special guest. Zuhl Bailey is with us. Good morning, Zuhl.
Good morning. Good morning.
And it's really great to have you here. We are in the midst of the pretty much precisely the halfway point in the Northwest Bach Festival. And this is a very special week because it's a variety of things and something that is brand new and rather exciting that you're going to be doing. So it begins with that. So let's just get going. Shall we set the stage with a little bit of music just to have it in our ears?
Sure.
Okay, so here we go. This is a little music by Richard Strauss, and we'll talk about it in a moment. And that was the opening to a very large and daunting piece for very large orchestra, which is the tone poem Don Quixote by Richard Strauss. However, and that is going to be the major piece for three concerts of the Bach Festival this week, but not quite in that form, which is thereby hangs the tale. And it's a fascinating one, too. So get us started with that.
Well, being a cellist, of course, this is one of our masterpieces, being that I would play Don Quixote as the cellist. When it was originally written, I believe it was written for the principal cellist to be that both orchestral part as well as the Don Quixote, and the principal violist would have been Sancho Panza. A massive work, as you said, difficult for everybody, including the conductor. Such a large-scale work that is very rarely programmed. Growing up as a cellist, I never even had the option to even go see it, let alone be booked to play it. But I did see Rostropovich perform it a couple of times. I just was kind of in shock and awe of the spectacle of it and the difficulty, intricacies. And then about 10 years ago, I was booked to play it for the first time, and not playing a lot of Strauss, I then realized why, again, it was something that one has to dedicate themselves to completely to pull it off, let alone master it. So as I was preparing for this those concerts 10 years ago, and in my investigations, I started hearing rumors about this thing that might have existed and created decades ago by Laszlo Varga, this thing being a reduction of the Don Quixote for sextet. Now, Laszlo Varga, we can go into great detail. He was the principal cellist of the New York Philharmonic under Metropolis and Bernstein. Mm-hmm. He was a teacher of mine, Stephen Cates, at one point in his life, beloved by cellists, was not only a great cellist, but he was a transcriber, an arranger, a conductor, a teacher, a pedagogue. And he was beloved by cellists. So a lot of his arrangements and transcriptions are cello-centric. They're for cello ensemble. And they're really celebrated. I mean, they really brought the cello as an instrument that covers all the instruments to the forefront quickly to showcase that if you had a cello group, they could play all the voices. I think through that, then he realized, well, then if I've got this spectrum of sounds that could be created, maybe I could recreate symphonic pieces as well as chamber works. So this is an unusual legend. And 3-4 years ago, with his passing, I I heard that this, and indeed it did exist, and that it might actually be part of his catalog that was just recently given to the University of North Carolina Greensboro, UNCG, because they have they're collecting cellists' libraries. And so I happened to be performing in Greensboro, and I went to the library, and I just knocked on the door and then asked if indeed this was a reality. And they said, not only is it a reality, but here's the music. And they handed it to me, and I couldn't believe.
That's one of the most amazing pieces of the story. Right,
yes,
there.
And they handed me copies, PDFs of the music. But they said that and again, this is all lore. I'm not sure if it's true, but there was an initial reading or initial performance with Laszlo Varga, and then there might have been one semi-public reading or something at UNCG when they got this music. But no one knows it. And so I immediately came running to this festival thinking, can we premiere it? Can we figure out a way to, for our 40th anniversary, my fifth as the artistic director, could we kind of make a general theme of the whole festival being kind of a reimagining the way we hear things? So we've done the Schumann cello concerto in quintet form. We did the Beethoven violin sonata, the Kreutzer, for cello quintet. of course, this. So this is how it all spawned out. And this was about a year ago that we put this into motion. This is the week. This is the day. It's tonight. It's I'm always one, especially with my friends, to tell exactly what's going on. We're very uncomfortable and very nervous about this because we don't know. We don't have a feeling of how we will feel when it's over. Mm-hmm. We've tremendously prepared the musicians that are in this sextet. There's horn, there's clarinet, there's a piano trio and viola. And Vern Windham will be guiding us as a on-again, off-again conductor through this fantasy.
It's one of those situations where the ensemble is just big enough and complex enough and the music is just unfamiliar enough that you
That's
need
right.
somebody.
Well, yes, and then in these fantasy sections where there's a storm or a battle going on, there's got to be some internal heartbeat because it becomes chaos. It's on purpose. Mm-hmm. But super excited. I mean, I very rarely feel this anticipation of the unknown in an accepting kind of way, where I really can't wait to feel what it's going to be like in the midst of it tonight, as well as after, and also see the action, the reaction of the audience, because no one's ever heard anything like this before.
Well, just mulling over the concept, I'm really excited about this because the orchestration of Don Quixote by Strauss is one of those things that is so thick, so dense. There are so many people on stage, even unto a wind machine.
Right.
It's just, well, for Strauss, it was just the usual,
right.
the usual size orchestra, but to have that reduced to its essence, to have this finely crafted thing that has to include all, but at the same time is limited. The instrumentation, and mainly from the Spokane Symphony, Mateusz Wolski will be the violinist, Nick Carper will be the violist, you will be cellist, Daniel Cotter will be the bass clarinetist, and Emily Brown playing horn, and one of your festival pianists, Matt Herskovitz, will play as well.
The keyboard, yeah.
And that is just, it's an amazing concept to me.
Well, it does reduce it down, and it does, and all the orchestral players that have played it in the Spokane Symphony, even several years ago, were not only grateful, but very kind of eye-opened to this, and me too. I have to play it with orchestra in a few weeks, and I've not heard the innards like this ever before. So it's kind of a magnifying glass into the bones of this piece, and I think it'll make people hear it very differently from now on.
Yeah, and it's a super piece, just in and of itself. There are three performances. The first one is tonight at the Barrister Winery.
That's right.
Are there still seats available for that as far as you know?
Maybe. We tend to set up for exactly, but we want people up close. So we tend to try to make these chamber events versus, you know, stadium events. So usually we have room at Barrister, and that's why we did this. And this is very different, though, to the exclusive event that we have on Wednesday night. And I did want to talk about this because we wanted to do something very different where it's limited seating, very limited seating, at Hamilton Studio, and where we're going to give visuals, pictures, sketches above each of the sections of this multifaceted work to give a multisensorial view into it. So my hope, and this was the motive, is that those who need that and want to feel like they're at a film or a movie and where they're like that, they'll go to the Hamilton Studio. But those who hear it in the dimension they're going to tonight will want to revisit it to then add another dimension to it on Wednesday night. Again, probably 70 people tops we are going to fit in there. And then we go to Coeur d'Alene and
doing the Thursday performance of the Hagedorn Event Center in Coeur d'Alene, which will be without the visuals.
Right. Okay. Yeah, yes.
Yep. Now it makes perfect sense because the whole piece is set up as theme and variation.
That's right.
Basically, and so just the visual of having a different, as go from scene to scene to scene, of having a different visual to go along with that is a wonderful idea. So again, this is a really exciting thing, a premiere of a piece that was last performed who knows when.
Right. And so then it begs the question, what do you put with it? Because this is a 43-minute work, but it's not necessarily an entire event, especially when you want to have an intermission and a pause and all these things. So I'd been hearing about another piece that was a real barn burner by Doc Nani, and shockingly, the exact same instrumentation, exactly the same. So I couldn't wait to program that and to showcase that as the other side of the LP for the experience of this is much more obvious. This is much more of a freight train of emotions and a clear way to put an exclamation point on the evening. So tonight we're going to start with Don Quixote and have this exploration. And then we'll have a little bit of a break and then we'll play the Doc Nani Sextet.
Great. So that's the program for the next couple of days, but the festival's not over yet.
No, it's not.
And so if you've not been to the festival, if you've never been to the Bach Festival, there are a couple of things to recommend themselves at the end. On Friday night, you go back to the Barrister Winery, and this program is with the pianist Matt Herskovitz, also from the Spokane Symphony, principal clarinetist Chip Phillips, and you'll be playing cello. And this is music of a more familiar sort, for sure.
Especially
at the end of the program.
Yeah, well, when you have an arc in a festival, you try to give something for everybody, and you also try to twist it as much as you can. So we've had a lot of Bach, Beethoven, Schumann, yesterday, Brahms and Mozart, of course, Strauss and Doc Nani, Matt Herskovitz. That's kind of where it starts with this concert, because Matt and I went to Juilliard together, and at Juilliard, it's very cookie cutter, strictly classical, at least back when we were in the 1900s in school. They really structured everything in a really high-end way. I had heard rumors that Matt was an incredible improviser and he was a jazz guy, but he was there as studying classical piano. And we all got our degrees and we all went our separate directions, but friends of mine worked with Matt kind of in the catacombs of these jazz clubs, and they actually started a jazz trio. They were here last time, the Matt Herskovitz Trio, and so when I brought him here for the first time recently, he was brought as a jazz musician primarily, and so to come back this time, I wanted to bring him back as a classical musician, and then with a tinge of jazz in it. So that's why he's playing the keyboard to the Strauss and the Dakhnani. But Friday, of course, we start with the clarinet trio of Brahms. And then the second half, I said, carte blanche, go, do it. Do what you do. And he is going to do a whole set of his take on kind of the other side of classical music, where he'll do Gershwin and other composers. But like those who witnessed it before, he'll start in a very familiar way, mm-hmm. and then it just tilts and goes off into a way that we discussed last night, Matt and I, that probably the composers would have done had they been at their keyboards or in their whatever, free and flexible, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. not just necessarily what's on the page. So
right after the intermission, this is, I think, encapsulates what happens in this concert. He'll be playing some familiar music by Louis Moreau Gottschalk, the first of the great barnstorming pianists in this country, the Bachenga, the Bambula, and in concluding the set with the banjo, which is maybe Gottschalk's best-known piece. But then he takes it in a different direction, where he has his own treatments a la Gottschalk, as the program said, of music of Frédéric Chopin, two of the Etudes,
yes,
which I think is worth the price of admission all by itself.
Absolutely.
And then he goes into music of Joplin, Fats Waller, and concludes with George Gershwin. So it sounds like just a really delightful program that in many ways mirrors what's going on in music these days with the cross-pollinization.
Absolutely.
Among various kinds.
And I'll take
styles.
It one step further. So we in our discussion last night, he said, do you mind if I go off program or fill things in as long as I speak from the stage and describe it from that? I said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. basically, the program will be pulled from that and things will be added to it. I want him to be free and spontaneous and go with the audience, because that's the whole point of that, is that's what he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounds like a great program. Again, that is at the Barrister Winery coming up this Friday at 7:30. And sadly, all good things must come to an end, and festivals certainly among them. And the last performance, I wanted to ask you about this, because it's been kind of a tradition is the wrong word, but it's a typical sort of thing for the last concert to have the big blowout with the huge orchestra and the chorus and all of the the dancing girls and everything coming on stage. But this is something that's very different. It is in it's in a spectacular space, St. John's Cathedral, but it's essentially an intimate concert because it's only three people. There is the cathedral organist, John Bodinger, you are playing, and Elizabeth DeMille.
That's right.
Is the pianist.
Well, yes, thank you for noticing. It in my capacity brings, let's start with the not obvious. I wanted the Shlomo by Bloch is a very underplayed work as well, mm-hmm. for grand orchestra and cello. And it really is kind of a soundtrack to, it's Hebraic Rhapsody for cello and orchestra. I wanted to boil it down to a place where people could not only absorb it, but absorb it in a big structure, mm-hmm. the church, mm-hmm. where it would become almost, it would take on a prayer-like scenario. So the rafter shuddering events that would happen with the full orchestra would become something that, like the Strauss, they could hear in a way that they've never heard before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're going to pair that then with me playing the Kol Nidre with organ. And the reason why I wanted to focus on the organ versus the orchestra this time was it's a Bach festival.
Mm-hmm.
This was Bach's instrument. I want people to, again, realize where all of this music began. That was through the organ. This is the way Bach heard it. This is where he sat and everything came out of, where it began, and then everybody emulated and kind of revered afterwards, composers and such. So we have the beginning of the show. There will be no intermission on this performance. Mm-hmm. That's another new thing. It's basically about an hour and 20-minute performance. And it starts with organ as it began in Bach's time, and then it will evolve into where we went with instruments and the evolution of the piano, and then, of course, the cello in that.
The organ selections at the beginning are really interesting because they really kind of encapsulate at least one dimension of the history of the instrument. The great piece of musical architecture, which is the Bach Passacaglia, the C minor Passacaglia, opens the program, and it kind of it says it all. Basically, it's all there.
Yes.
From the Passacaglia structure through the big fugue that closes things out. Then it goes to a little piece by Louis Vierne, who was the organist of Notre Dame Cathedral for 37 years. His meditation. And then it goes to another landmark of the repertory, which is the César Franck, his first chorale, written almost at the end of his life, but just an amazing piece that ultimately goes back to Bach.
Right.
And so, but then we make the shift to the Kol Nidre, and then to the Shlomo, and then it closes with music of Chopin.
Well, that came to me from I've actually spoken to so many pianists that think of Chopin as their Bach, and Chopin just adored Bach, of course. And I wanted to, the last work that Chopin wrote was his cello sonata. So he all of a sudden saw the incorporation of the cello as this storytelling entity. And so I thought, why don't we end with kind of a dance and celebrate the Polonaise Brilliante. And that's where that comes from. So it's a wonderful flair to end a terrific 2 weeks, as always.
Right. Well, a wonderful way to close out one of the real cultural landmarks of the Inland Northwest, the Northwest Bach Festival. Zuhal Bailey firmly in charge of, and taking it in really intriguing directions.
Thank
and
you.
This is certainly a week that has all of the variety that is the festival on display. And this conversation will be available as a podcast later today in our From the Studio series. And I want to thank Zuhal for coming in today very much.
Thank you. We're
going to go out with some music from your album that we've been able to play at least a bit from this week, which is your new release of the Cello Concerti of Franz Joseph Haydn. You get to pick. Shall we do the from the first?
Sure. Let's end with another flair.
Okay.
This is the last movement of the Haydn C major cello concerto with the Philharmonia.
Here we go.